This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to an absolutely not drama-filled Thursday at all. There's absolutely nothing going on in the world to talk about. I walked in today, and I'm like, it doesn't matter how fast I talk, and this is me talking to myself, which everybody probably does. There's no way I can get everything in 1 hour today. Like, ladies and gentlemen, this is a loaded freaking show today. And if you didn't know, this is the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and in the process, producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun. Noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And if you're so inclined, on Wednesdays, Joyce, Steve, Taylor, 5 days a week here on 93.7. The Ticket, theticketfm.com. Grab your lunch, come join us. We'll talk a whole lot of Husker sports, college football, and sports in general as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of stuff to talk about. Tommy Hill stuff to talk about. Nebraska basketball versus Creighton. I was coaching a kid one time. The kid's name was Braxton. The dad was Heath. He goes, that orange pumpkin smashing pounding stuff. They liked wrestling and football. They were not basketball fans. Basketball was probably my favorite sport growing up because I wasn't allowed to play football until middle school. But we're going to talk a little bit about J-skirring. Not spend a ton of time on it, but is it okay to J-skir? When is it okay to J-skir? Is it never okay to J-skir? You know, I want to open it up to the text line, to the call line, the text line. Give people that number real quick, Jake.
402-464-5685.
And we're going to play a clip from Fred Hoiberg, and then we're going to get into a whole bunch of football talk. Think about this matchup Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Our offensive coordinator, who's been here for 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, going on 3 weeks now, he's starting to become a veteran, ladies and gentlemen. Dana Holgorsen versus really nobody for Wisconsin. In fact, Luke Fickell was mad that they even asked who was going to call plays. They fire their offensive coordinator. All right. They don't have their starting quarterback. They're starting running back, transferred after the third game of the season. They fire their offensive coordinator. All right, I just might pick Nebraska to win this game. Has nothing to do with Nebraska. Has everything to do with Wisconsin. Tune in tomorrow for my final official prediction of the week. But essentially what Luke Fickell said when asked who's going to call plays, it's going to be a group effort. Like, how does that work? A group effort? What is the play clock? 40 seconds, Jake?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Who wants to run the option? All right, hands up. All right, who wants to throw the ball? Play action. What if we want to sub the running back? What if this receiver? Oh, let's run screen. No, let's run screen left. All right, guys, we got 15 seconds left. Hands up. What are we going to run? Oh, we got to get the play. It's not a group effort. Somebody's calling the plays, and he doesn't want to tell us who it is because he knows people aren't going to like the answer. It's Dana Holgorsen versus Casper, ladies and gentlemen. Now, their guy's been there all year. Our guy's rather new. But I like that matchup. When you think about coordinators, I feel like we've got the advantage. Tony White, Dana Holgorsen. The only advantage they have is Casper, whoever it is, has been there presumably all season. Either that or they've snuck some guy in, and that's why Luke Fickell doesn't want to tell us who it is, because it's not a guy with the name recognition of Dana Holgorsen. We don't know. It's Casper because it's not a group effort. That's a bunch of BS. So I like our offensive coordinator matchup versus Casper and Dana Holgorsen. I like our D coordinator, Tony White. Okay, and Wisconsin's always good at defense, just like Iowa, the next opponent. But they've struggled to stop the run. They've struggled to get after the quarterback this year. All right, Wisconsin's defense is only averaging 1.4 sacks per game. So even if you round, that's one sack a game. They're not very good at stopping the run. Now their pass defense is fourth in the country, which is amazing because normally a good pass rush bleeds into good pass defense stats. So their cornerbacks are pretty good. All right, so I will give them that. Their current starting quarterback, that people are saying should be benched, has not played well. He actually started out well, but as of late has really struggled. 8 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in his most recent games. That's a 1-to-1 ratio. Again, you want to be 2-to-1. I understand our quarterback has not exactly been where we want him to be either, but even his touchdown interception ratio, 11-to-10, is slightly better than 8-to-8, slightly above 1-to-1. We're not going to round because that gives us the benefit of the doubt. Stats, ladies and gentlemen. That was a class where I learned nothing about... I learned nothing but gambling the entire class. That's all he talked about was the odds of this, the odds of that in stats in college. It was highly entertaining. But let's get back to J-Skirring. I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, is it appropriate to J-Skir? Text in, let us know. If it's not, I accept that answer. If it is, when is it okay to J-Skir? Because I can only think of twice. There's only two times where it's even remotely acceptable to J-Skir. Text in, let us know your thoughts. In the meantime, let's play that clip from Mr. Fred Hoiberg.
Going into year six in this rivalry in the state, the weird thing about this one is that on the next day, a lot of those fans will be cheering for Nebraska on a football field. That's always been a little bit bizarre to me, but, you know, it is. These rivalry games are really fun for the fans. They're not very much fun for the coach.
Jake, let me know what people say. Even if they send in a novel like the other day, just pick out the part that matters, okay? By the way, if you send in a comment and it's not read on air, it's Jake's fault. I'm just going to say it. It's Jake's fault. Jake picks and chooses. All right. I'm the man of the people. It's never my fault. I digress. I'm not at home, so I can get away with saying that. Jake, is it ever in your mind okay to J-Skir?
I wouldn't say not when Nebraska is playing great. And obviously, you just
absolutely
if you get across
not.
That
no,
line,
no,
then
no.
You're in trouble.
Ever. Ever. Any scenario.
I mean, I cheer for the state of basketball in Nebraska. I'd like to see if Nebraska have a top 10 team. If it's not going to be the Huskers, it's at least entertaining to have Creighton. So I believe that, yes, you can cheer for Creighton.
All right. I won't argue. There's two times, in my opinion. Let me know if I'm right or wrong. Then we're going to move on to pure football talk. By the way, Joey Galloway, we're going to play this clip at the end. This is one of my former freaking teammates, a guy who's at ESPN. I brought him on the Chronicles earlier this year. I brought him on because he does not care. He is knowledgeable, he is honest, and he will say a whole bunch of stuff right to someone's face, and he doesn't care. That's why I know quite a few people at various places, ESPN, Big Ten Network, et cetera. Sometimes I bring him on the Chronicles. Check out CharacterChronicles.com, also YouTube. I picked him because I knew he'd be blunt and honest, and when he came on, he was. But Joey, he wants Indiana to bench their quarterback this Saturday versus Ohio State. He's not hurt, by the way. 100% healthy, off a bye week. We're going to play that later in the show. We're going to play Matt Rhule's clip about Tommy Hill later in the show. That's just an interesting one to me. I know they just played it, which is why we're going to wait till later in the show. We're going to give us some time space on air here on the ticket. All right. But before we dive completely into football, in my mind, and let me know if I'm right. Let me know if I'm wrong. Okay. Present some proof, facts, and evidence. Don't just, you know, say yes, no, right, wrong, or whatever. Doesn't have to be a novel, though, when you send in your text or call in. You can call in, too, if you'd like. Two times. Number one, I'm just going to say it. It'd be better if we were in Omaha so Creighton fans could hear this, and then they could bombard me, and that'd be okay. Creighton's not good enough to have a football team. Bam! So you got to root for the Huskers if you want to root for football in the state of Nebraska. There you go. All right. I just turned heel on every Creighton fan, but the problem is we're not in Omaha, so they probably aren't hearing me.
The whole text line just says pretty much hates J-Skir. So.
All right. Well, I don't mind if they root for Nebraska football because they don't have a football team to root for themselves. Or the way I just said it, they're not good enough to have their own football team. I like that way better because it, you know, a little bit more jab to the side-ish. Number two, if the NCAA tournament rolls around or like the College World Series in baseball or other sports, and I'm with Jake, I want the state of Nebraska to be represented well. It's the same reason in the college football playoff, I'm inevitably going to root for Ohio State. I want the Big Ten to do well. Just like Michigan last year, I don't care about Michigan. I don't care about Ohio State. I care about the Big Ten looking good. So I rooted for Michigan, especially when they played Alabama, where they think the NFL or SEC is college football's version of the NFL. It is a pretty darn good conference, but it's not head and shoulders above everybody else. It's just a little bit better right now, this year anyways. We need teams like USC, Nebraska, and a few other teams to step it up. And then it'll be a little bit more level field competition, conversation between the Big Ten and SEC. So for me, it's okay because Creighton doesn't have their own football team. Everybody in the state of Nebraska is allowed to root for Nebraska football, in my humble opinion. Is the text line just utterly hating what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, most of them, again, it's been this way for years. They hate J-Skir.
To be clear, other than these two times, it is not appropriate to J-Skir. It is not appropriate to root for Creighton. Or if it's some sort of national setting like the NCAA basketball tournament, the College World Series in baseball, I will root for Creighton or, you know, Ohio State, Michigan for the Big Ten, because I want the state of Nebraska to look good and I want the Big Ten to look good. Other than that, I don't think it's ever okay to J-Scare, in my opinion.
And I think there's layers to it, too. It's not just that. It's not like I casually cheer for Creighton when the tournament hits, or just like I said, just because I like to see good basketball in Nebraska. I've been up there and seen a few of the games, but they are like your active rival, right? Especially since you've gone from the Big 8, Big 12 to the Big 10. You don't necessarily have those longstanding rivals. They are active rivals. Like somebody on the text line says, when they played Iowa, when they played Texas, I cheer against Creighton. That's how much there is a hatred for Creighton on, you know, from some Nebraska basketball standpoint.
I can't get behind the Texas one. Like, Texas is the ultimate team that I'm never going to root for. Gag Me You is what I have dubbed them this year. That was totally unprompted, by the way, when I started saying that. Gag Me, I will never root for Gag Me You, okay? I don't care who they're playing. All right? And to be clear, like, I'm not sitting here saying I'm grabbing a bag of popcorn, setting a timer, and sitting down watching Creighton play in the College World Series or the NCAA tournament. I'm just like, oh, what's the score? Okay, cool. I hope they win. I hope they score one more point. You know, it's not like Nebraska, where we're there, we're paying attention. We got the family. We got everybody, you know, paying attention if Nebraska's in the NCAA tournament, the College World Series, whatever the case may be. Like, we are paying attention. I got my girls like, Dad, Nebraska volleyball is Saturday at this time and Sunday at this time. Like, other than when Creighton played in Nebraska and I haven't watched a single Creighton match all year. So to be clear, this is not some sort of high priority on my list. It's just kind of like, slightly 50.1% of me prefer they win. But it's okay. The people don't seem to agree, according to Jake, and that's all right. What are your thoughts on the football thing, and then we'll move on?
What's that?
Well, they're not good enough to have their own football team. You like how I phrased that? They're not good enough to have their own football team, so we'll allow them to ride our coattails in football. What do you think of that?
I mean, again, that's where it gets awkward. I mean, I can agree with it, but if you're not a Nebraska fan, like, if you're not a Nebraska fan during the basketball season, if you're going to choose Creighton over them, then it like makes me question your Nebraska football fanhood to begin with, because for me, like, it's like, yeah, I've got other teams I like, but Nebraska football, of my fanhood in totality, is like, you know, Nebraska basketball, Nebraska in general, like 90% of it. Yeah, there's some other teams I like here and there, but I just can't imagine actively cheering against Nebraska basketball as a Nebraska football fan. It's just a different type of person. But again, if you're someone that grows up in Omaha, a few blocks down from Creighton, I it'd be hard for me to fault you for liking the local Omaha program, you know, that's in your city.
So for me, I don't think they're going to be passionate. They're going to be coattail riders. They're going to be not much of a bandwagon, but you get my point. They're going to be bandwagon as much as you can be right now. They're probably going to be like checking the score, maybe going to the game, hanging out, making sure they're staying hydrated, but that's about it. Hanging out with the buddies, so to speak, but they're not going to be passionate. Otherwise, I'm with you. Then it's just fake. Like, don't be fake about it. Okay. All right, let's move on. Dana Holgorsen. I kind of already went through my whole diatribe. Like, Dana Holgorsen versus Casper is essentially the offensive coordinator matchup we have this week. And Dylan Raiola talked about he expects the biggest jump in improvement. And again, this is going to be within a realm of reasonable. God, I tried to make up a word and totally fail. Within the realm of being reasonable, of what you can reasonably expect. The strain was real to try to say that right there. The strain. Bob Diaco came out.
Yes.
But I digress. My point is, you can expect a certain amount of improvement. As time goes along, you're going to expect more and more improvement the longer Dana is here. Okay, hopefully he's here for you know, many, many months past December. But we'll get to that when the time is right. In the meantime, game one to game two, as I said the other day, is when teams tend to experience the biggest leap of improvement. So maybe game one to game two, we could expect, within what is reasonable, the biggest leap of improvement for Nebraska's offense, potentially. Maybe not. I don't know. But I like Dana Holgorsen versus Casper and our OC versus OC matchup. And then here's the other thing. You want to look at, because Dana talked about the running backs. And he talked about, we got to get more out of the running backs. USC's in the press conference. He talked about USC's running backs made some of our guys miss. And the most damning thing I thought he said was USC's tacklers against us had hard tackles to make and they made them. In other words, like, when you think about the one-on-one matchups that happened last Saturday, our running back versus their defender, more often than not, their defender made the tackle. When you think about why our wide receivers were struggling to get open in man-to-man defense, it's literally man-to-man. It's a one-on-one matchup across the board. We couldn't get open. USC dominated the one-on-one matchups in the areas that mattered the most. Tackler versus running back. Wide receiver in coverage versus a DB. Like, that's why our offense by itself, without any help from the defense, totaled 10 total points. The defense itself produced 10, pick six, and gave our offense the ball to 16, and we ended up with a field goal. So that's why the offense struggled so much. You've got to win those one-on-one matchups a little bit more. I do think Dana can figure some things out. I do think he's going to learn more and more. Like at the press conference the other day, I noticed he wasn't saying players' names. He was saying numbers. Well, that's okay. He hasn't been here long enough to know everybody's name. But as long as he understands numbers, that's really about all you need. And I'm still curious to see what he can do with a guy like Ja'Cory Barney. Let me see here. Ja'Cory did something the other day. I wrote it down. I got it. True freshman receiver Ja'Cory Barney caught two passes. And this was just in the first half, okay? Increasing his season total to 40 reception. That ties the Nebraska season record for catches by a true freshman, matching Wandale Robinson in 2019. I don't recall if he had a catch in the second half, but I'm sure he's going to break that record. He's got two whole games left to do it. So that's a guy who can win a one-on-one matchup for you. You got to start with guys like that. All right. Nebraska running backs. And the issues that we've had. We have not had... I'm just going to read this here. Nebraska running back position for Nebraska football was once one of the greatest positions in the sport. From Mike Rozier to Amon Green to Amir Abdullah, the Huskers produced 29 seasons with a running back hitting the 1,000-yard mark on the season between the Tom Osborne and Bo Pelini eras. 29 seasons. In the decade since Bo was fired, only Divino Zigbo, I believe that was 2015. Do you remember the exact year, Jake? Look that up real quick. Only Divino Zigbo was able to cross the 1,000-yard mark in a season as a running back. What was once a force in college football has faded away. Since Nebraska's last 1,000-yard back, 13 teams have had a 1,000-yard back in the Big Ten. These teams include West Coast passing teams such as Washington, USC, and Oregon, who have only played in the Big Ten as a member of the conference a season. UCLA had a 1,000-yard running back in 2022 when their running back went for 1,359 yards for Chip Kelly. Purdue and Maryland both had 1,000-yard running backs in 2018, along with the Huskers. That must have been Divino Zigbo's year. Purdue is the only team with a longer streak, having not had a 1,000-yard back since Corey Sheets in 2008. So I was like, all right, who have been Nebraska's leaders rushing-wise since 2014? And here's what came up. There's articles below this, but here's the first three names that came up. Here are some of the leading rushers for Nebraska Cornhuskers football since 2014. You're going to notice a common theme slash problem with the names that pop up. Tommy Armstrong Jr., Adrian Martinez, Taylor Martinez. Of course, he was before 2014. I don't know why he popped up. What is the problem with those three names as far as leading rushers, Jake?
Quarterback.
Yes. That is not a great sign. Not a great sign at all. So then I was like, all right, who have we had? And I clicked on some of the articles below. And when you go back in Nebraska football history, the highest ranked rusher we have, according to total career yardage, is Divino Zigbo since 2014. He doesn't even break the top 25 on Nebraska's career rushing yards list for running backs. He's 26th. All right, Terrell Newby, who was 2013, is two slots ahead of him. Adrian Martinez, all right, is 22. Marlon Lucky, et cetera, et cetera. We've got to get back. And I'm not saying you have to have one single running back, okay? It's easier if you do. I've always liked the two running back approach, thunder and lightning, if that works, if that fits your personnel. One running back is fine. You obviously got to have someone in case somebody, your starter gets banged up or dinged up or needs a break, but we've got to be able to run the ball better. Okay, and it was interesting because I said throughout the game, wow, this is the best rushing attack yards per carry, 4.8, we've had since UTEP. I talked about that throughout the game, and then Dana talked about, hey, there was more holes there, and he didn't want to talk about the previous 8 games because he wasn't here, which makes sense. But that was the best blocking we'd had up front since UTEP. Since UTEP. There's multiple problems with that. One, it's UTEP. Two, that was like 9 years ago. So I'm glad the blocking was better against USC. My only caveat is, can we do it versus Wisconsin? Can we do it versus Iowa? I talked about it multiple times. USC lost one of their starting defensive linemen. Okay, he entered the transfer portal about a month into the season, and they only have 2 defensive linemen on their entire roster, on their entire defense, actually, 2 players on the entire defense that are 300 pounds or more. So they're not built to stop the run. So can we continue to block like that in the run game versus Wisconsin and Iowa, teams that are known for being physical? Wisconsin's run-stopping ability right now is not as good as it's been in the past. Iowa's still pretty darn good. All right, so for me, that's kind of where my head is at. It's what can we take advantage of? You look at Wisconsin. I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the year that Indiana and Illinois, at the times that we played them, would be tougher opponents than Wisconsin and Iowa? And with all due respect, we may lose both these games. I hope we win both. I really hope we at least win one. But I would say right now, Indiana and Illinois are tougher than Wisconsin and Iowa. So when we looked at those first 7 games, like, oh my God, it's a cakewalk. It was a little misleading. You never know what's going to happen. All hell breaks loose when the ball's kicked off, as I've said a million times. But if we can't beat Wisconsin right now, I'm probably going to I've already picked Nebraska earlier this week. The odds are I'm going to stick with that. But if we can't beat Wisconsin right now, it's more about Wisconsin than anything we're doing at the moment. They're in such disarray. If we can't beat them right now, I don't know what to say. So we're favored. The spread has gone up since Sunday when we opened as a 1-point favorite. Now we're a 2.5-point favorite. There's a reason for that. With all due respect to what we're doing here. And when we come back, I completely forgot to promote Carriker's Trivia Challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing Carriker's Trivia Challenge today. I came in with so much on the docket here. Look at all these freaking papers. Like, look at this. Look at this. All right. If you're not, just listen. If you can't see me, listen. I'm just crinkling up one paper over and over. No, I'm just kidding. Is there a bunch of papers here?
There is, yeah.
I forgot to promote Carriker's Trivia Challenge. All right. Right after this, or whenever we get a caller in, Carriker's Trivia Challenge. I've lost 2 in a row. I'm not happy. Nightmares are real, and I still see Lendale White crossing the end zone, costing me last week's trivia challenge. How did he have so many touchdowns? Wasn't he with Reggie Bush? Yes, he was. I digress. They gave the ball to Lendale versus Texas for a reason. All right. I've got like 3 things in my head right now. I've completely lost track of what I was talking about before Carriker's Trivia Challenge. Let's do this. Carriker's Trivia Challenge. Call in. You want to go mano-a-mano with yours truly, see if you can get me under 500 and ruin my entire week. All right, what is that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
And what was I talking about right before that? The running backs?
Yeah.
No, there was something after that. Oh, Wisconsin and where they're at. Like, I've got some stats after the break or after Carriker's Trivia Challenge, whatever happens next, that they're going to break your heart. But then I've got a thought, and it's not outside the realm of possibility at all. And I tell you what, it's going to pick your spirits right back up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, call that number. Take on yours truly. In the meantime, we're going to talk Nebraska, Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.